Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week: the Black Cats leave Chelsea black and blue. Today, I'm joined by just my good friend Brady. How's it going?
The long-term listeners might have felt that we've actually used black and blue before, but it was actually used with Black Cats, just for clarity. Just if there's any wise Charlies in the chat going, oh, they've used that one before. And to be honest, it was a game that we've seen before, wasn't it? It was Chelsea knocking down the door with Lollipop versus a low block. And we've seen it before, and it was particularly dull this time, I have to say.
Such a disappointing game, given the form or the results that we had coming into the match. Don't think anyone foresaw a defeat. Obviously, with a 90+3 goal, we did lose 2-1 at home to Sunderland. 1.31 XG for Sunderland versus 0.89 for Chelsea. 16 shots for us, 10 for Sunderland. Two big chances each. 7 shots on target, 4 for Sunderland, in which they scored 2 goals. Possession 68% to Chelsea, 32% to Sunderland. I think you summed it up really well there. Just sort of a lot of possession, knocking the door down with a lollipop.
Yeah. I mean, we got 0.9 XG, but I think we've had, 16 shots? That tells a story. I mean, using a bit of maths there, you're looking at 0.06 XG average across 16 shots. I mean, I don't remember two big chances, I'll be honest. I don't know. I don't have Todd Bowley bought them after the game. I mean, I wouldn't call a Garnacho chance a big chance, and I don't think we had many big. I mean, maybe that one where Garnacho in the first half, but I don't remember really any in the second half. Yeah, I mean, I think it was a game that was destined to be a draw almost comical bit of defending at the end. Obviously, we get done by a long throw, which is happening to a lot of teams at the moment. So that is what it is. It was at the end that we were both at the game, weren't we? And it was at our end. And it was a bit of a sucker punch, wasn't it? I wasn't expecting to lose the game in that fashion. Then it was a really bad one.
Yeah, such a disappointing and sort of deflating moment at the end as well, where time almost sort of stood still as the substitute striker for Sunderland, Broby, came on and sort of held the ball up with Tosin around him and Chalobah sort of just standing off him as everyone sort of caught up. I mean, it was a very, very sad moment. And obviously down our end, the shed end, it's the Sunderland fans, rightfully so, going absolutely ballistic. One of the more deflating moments at Stamford Bridge for a long time. Probably the one going back to was the Fulham Boxing Day game from last season, which obviously had sort of a very similar sort of smash and grab feel to it. But I think smash and grab is unfair to Sunderland because I think that they actually played really well in the game, sort of competed really well, certainly at least deserved a draw in the game. And also I thought, shout out to their fans, who were probably the best fans we've had at Stamford Bridge for a long time in terms of, obviously, look, they're loving it. They finished the day second in the table. They're having the time of their lives in there. But it's, they were singing throughout the whole game. And yeah, just give a little hat tip to their fans, who I thought were brilliant. Right, let's do likes and dislikes. Let's start with the dislikes first.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we'd go over likes, but yeah, dislikes we can go with. I think the team were just too, this is a bit of a trend under Maresca. And I'm interested to talk to you about this because they're good at controlling games, Chelsea. I think you can safely say Chelsea controlled the second half. I mean, territory and possession wise, if you look at the stats quickly, 67% possession to 33. And it's actually a bit more in the first half, actually. But you know, we had 8 shots to their 3 shots on target to their 1, but no big chances created, and only 0.34 XG. Now Sunderland was set up very well in this game. But you have to say that you don't get any points for controlling games. Sometimes you've got to go and win it. And just a bit too rigid and just no dynamism, I think. Just nothing. It reminded me of a lot of games where just too slow, too passive. okay, you're in a structure and that structure's good, but there's no kind of even remote flexibility around it. And yeah, it just told it was awful to watch at times. It was just, I don't remember. They were shooting at the other end, and it was just, I wouldn't say be falling asleep, but there was nothing going on, and it was very disappointing to see.
Yeah, I think sometimes Maresca gets a lot of stick for that element of the game, where it's almost like he's telling the players to not do anything creative or not sort of be out of the box. Don't get that sense at all from him. I think the players in this game definitely have to take a lot of responsibility. I thought a lot of them have shocking games. It's probably Caicedo's worst game for 18 months, at least for this season. João Pedro was obviously had an absolute stinker at 10. Mark Guiu was completely anonymous in the game. Lots of really poor individual performances in the game. You talk about Neto and Garnacho. I know they got the goal and the assist in the second minute, but very, very poor given the opportunities they had with the ball at their feet. So yeah, I think it's an easy criticism that's aimed at Maresca. I think it can be a little bit sloppy. Could we be better against low blocks? Is that partly responsible for the manager? Yes, but I think the players have to take a large amount of responsibility as well, with a lot of the ball in and around the box and not able to fashion good opportunities. That's got to be down to them as well.
What's your dislike?
My dislike is the intensity of the game in the first half, and it is a bit of a theme, especially in away games, but also home games against sort of these labelled weaker opposition. I know Sunderland, if you look at the league table, that wouldn't be regarded as weaker, but Sunderland were set up to time waste in the game, to slow the game down. They were picking the ball up, grabbing it after every break, stoppage in play. But there's no intensity from our players to grab it back. There's no urgency in the first half to, we need another goal, we need another goal. It's exactly what happened last season, in the sense that we go 1-0 up in the game and it's like, oh, well, that's, just see it out from here. And look, they can get back into the game with a long throw. They get a goal and suddenly it's 1-1. Now you've got to turn it up again. That's not the right attitude to have at all. The urgency from the team when players are missing is pitiful. The really today, James and Enzo and Caicedo and Neto, probably those four, I wanted to see them really push the team forward, and I didn't get that sense at all. I think Palmer and Delap, such huge misses for us, not just because of the quality and the sort of fit they are in this team. They were perfect for that 10 and striker role in this setup. It's the sort of the know-how and the urgency that they play with, knowing that this will be a tough game. Once they score, this is going to be a really tough game. And the urgency is just not there for me.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was going for. There seems to be... Yeah, I mean, and also in this game, this came up actually. There was no tactical switch from Maresca, which is very unusual. I was surprised he didn't change the system slightly or do something a bit different. Because it was just literally right, go again. And yeah, it just didn't work. I mean, he brought loads of different wingers on. We had every winger combination. You had George 9 at the end. It just didn't work, whatever he did. It was very poor.
Yep, let's hear a like, if you can find one.
I like it for the press conference afterwards. I don't like a lot of times when Maresca says that, I actually expected him to say, oh, we controlled the game, we're a bit unlucky, we got sucker punched. He didn't. He just said we weren't good enough. And he said that when you're not good enough, you try and draw, and you just try not to lose. I mean, his classic one is, if you don't play well, just don't lose. But he wasn't defending the players. He said that, that we could deal with the second goal a lot better, which is obvious anyway. And he said the performance was poor, and Matt Law pushed him on it and said he didn't even create anything today, didn't you? And he was... His body language is very much, I've got nothing. He wasn't defensive at all. And I think that's good. I think you sometimes need to hear that. I mean, I remember under Tuchel, whenever we didn't play well, Tuchel was also very honest. Even Lampard, to some extent, we were just poor today. And it does help. I really don't like when we're paid badly and the manager comes out and tries to kind of paper over the cracks or polish a turd, let's say. He didn't do that, Maresca, so fair play to him for that.
Yeah, I think there has been moments under Maresca where he's come out in the presses and you've kind of been like, oh, you know, that wouldn't be my honest assessment of the game, but obviously that he has to factor in other things like managing a group of young players and, you know, not knocking their confidence too much. But,
he's
yeah.
Ever been a hairdryer, though, has he? He's never come out in the presser and gone, oh, this lot were rubbish. I mean, even
I think as well, he knows that a lot of these guys are playing obviously through injuries. João Pedro hasn't trained this week. Caicedo didn't train. You know, these guys are playing obviously through whatever injuries they've got. And I think, you know, there's obviously a level of understanding when you're actually in the building that, you know, these guys are actually just trying to battle through spots as opposed to you know, being at their peak performance levels.
What was your like? If you have
my like, I think, is that the realization of our best team is maybe coming together a little bit. I think they kind of know now that, you know, Chalobah maybe is not quite at the level. I think Sanchez has certainly question marks, I think, about him, whether we'd even look to address that in January now. You know, him not coming for the ball at the end. I just feel like Sanchez, there's just times where he's just, he gives away goals. I don't know. He's just such a frustrating player to have. I think Garnacho at left wing, I think him walking off even at the substitute, getting substituted, I don't think Maresca will be liking that at all. I don't think Garnacho will start a league game for us the rest of this month. For the next couple, actually. Sorry, we're at the end of October now. But yeah, the next few games.
What do you think when he walked down the tunnel?
I think the sporting directors know that Mark Yew probably isn't the answer at nine. And if Delap is looking like he's not going to be fit, they might even look to address that in January. So I think the whole sort of structure or everything around the team is sort of becoming a bit more clear. And that's sort of the best positive I can take about the game, is that I think for Maresca, the team selections, I think, will be, you know, pretty easy from now on in. I think you're either going to give Gittens a chance at left wing or you're going to play Neto left wing and start Estabel. Because I don't think this wing combination with Garnacho is the answer in these games. I think Garnacho will be starting Wolves on is it Tuesday or Wednesday? One of those two.
What happened to Garnacho? Did he walk off?
So Garnacho took about 50 seconds to walk off the pitch for when we were obviously it's drawing 1-1. I just think Garnacho, like, his attitude stinks, doesn't it? I think that's obviously, we knew that coming in. We sometimes players come in and they, you know, turn over a new leaf, or, you know, they re-energized. You know, he's obviously sulking at Man United. He didn't feel wanted, or whatever. But come in here. I mean, I hate the celebration, the sponsorship board celebration, sitting in front of the away fans. I hate that. I know Maresca talked about in the press about Estevao saying, you know, when he scores a goal, he doesn't think he's, you know, completed the game, or he's the best in the world. He wants to come back and work. Honestly, I think Garnacho, he scored that goal in the second minute and he's like, right, well, that's it, job done for me for the game. I mean, he was so poor in the game. And the, you know, I think it's becoming clear to Maresca. Maresca would have been given these. I don't think Maresca's gone out and been like, well, we need Garnacho. But obviously the sporting directors have identified a player that you know, talented young player they can sign. I can't really fault the signing from a profile point of view. It fits our, but I think the more he plays, the more you realise, because he's not a massively hard worker either on the pitch, off the ball. I can't see him being a fit for Maresca at all. I think Gittens as well, with a really lively performance against Ajax, I think it'll be him or Neto. I think I think Spurs away next Saturday, it'll be Neto left wing, Estevao right wing. I just don't think he's got it in him to start Garnacho in that game.
Let's see.
Right. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk players. Let's talk temps.
Time to see whose form's on top. Who's heating up? Whose temperature's dropped? Who's been playing well and who's not? It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Right. I guess I've been hosting for a bit now, and we always do you first.
Garnacho.
It's not going to be Garnacho. Let's hear your freezer and then I'll say mine.
Mine's João Pedro.
Mine is Trevor Chalobah.
All right. Okay.
I'll talk about mine first because it's a little bit more controversial. Okay. Obviously, could have gone a bunch of different ways in this game. I don't want to be too harsh on Guiu, who was really the other strong option. You know, he's a 19-year-old striker. It's his first start in the Premier League. It's tough. Trevor Chalobah, however, very experienced player. I gave him an apology recently on this podcast. I said, look, I thought you were like a backup guy. You've had a load of good games in a row now. He was in good form back then. You know, I apologised to him. Maybe I underrated you. I actually think the apology has been retracted. He's had some absolute stinkers, Trevor Chalobah, recently. You know, he was even poor in that 45-minute showing against Ajax. He was shocking, obviously, against Brighton. You know, I think the point we've got to now with Chalobah is that it's become abundantly clear that he's not good enough really to play for us. He's the rotation option, the CB5, the third string right back. He's a good squad player, good lad, cheap, 26-year-old, homegrown. There's a lot going for him in terms of keeping him in the squad, but he's also pure profit. So, you know, some people might be tempted by him. But yeah, just in this game, obviously fairly poor throughout. Thought Issildur gave him a lot of trouble. You know, that duo of him and Tosin is just looks so poor. And then Achimpong before actually had a decent game, but it doesn't fill you with any confidence, even having those two on the pitch. And then, yeah, the end, the goal obviously just cemented the spot in the freezer. I've watched this goal so many times. I can't get my head around what Chalobah could possibly be thinking. It's a good 8 seconds that he stands there with the ball. 8 seconds in the game is such a long time. I mean, there's no one that, obviously people have put the stills out on X, but if you watch the video, there's no one there. It's a classic 2v1. I mean, it's just the easiest situation to defend in football. You take the left and behind, and I'm coming from the right. You know, it's the pincer. It's centre backs that we leave two back versus a single striker. I mean, they must have drilled this. They must have had this so many times. And what you don't do is go and stand, you know, 3 yards away from him and sort of shield. I mean, the advantage is just completely lost. It's so frustrating. That goal is just so, so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, Trev was playing well. He did a couple of dodgy games. I mean, obviously got sent off against Brighton, which I think was a bit of a rough one. I think it's a tough red card. I mean, it's not great he gave that away, but it's a lot of that was to do with Andre Santos. But yeah, I mean, he's a good player, but he's a good centre back, decent, but he's not elite. And yeah, I mean, there's always going to be the argument of he should be sold because of his pure profit. And he has been poor recently. He can't defend his performances. He's got a couple of goals this season. He pops up with a couple of goals. But yeah, well, the thing with Trev is, because his attributes are not all, like, especially physically, his attributes doesn't really always look like a centre-back. Because obviously he played in the field a lot, even in his professional career, not even his youth career. He's gone back to centre-back. It's almost seemed like a bit of like a, not a fill-in, but kind of just like a jack of all trades sort of thing. Like, he can play right back, centre back, left back. He could, I remember under, I think, Tuchel, Watford away, he played like DM once. Yeah, he's just been poor recently. I mean, and hopefully now you've retracted your apology, turns up again and you've got to apologise again. But yeah, I don't know. I still think he'll be used quite a lot this season. I still think he'll get plenty of minutes, like 2.5, 3k minutes maybe. But I don't think it'll always be in the big league games. And yeah, I've put in the notes here, you know, we need to have a centre-back discussion. We're just massively missing Levi Colwill, and I think you just got to start playing Fofana in big game. I know that they're building up his minutes, but we have Wolves in 2 days. I would not be starting Wesley Fofana in that game. I think you have to give him, or if you're going to start him, give him 45 minutes, because we need Fofana.
Do you think Fofana and Achimpong's our strongest centre-back pairing?
Well, yeah, probably, yeah. But I think it's got to be Fofana and X. I know there's a lot of concerns about Wesley Fofana's fitness, and quite rightly. But we are so poor at centre-back right now that I think you have to take a bit of a risk, to be honest. You know, you don't have to play in versus 90 versus Tottenham. You could play in 45 and then maybe 60, 75. I mean, Tottenham, they're not the most dynamic team ever. They, you know, Kudus and Oda there, and, you know, Richarlison up front, whoever it is, or Till, they're not really going to give you the run about that much. I think it'd be quite a tight game. So I can't see it being too end-to-end basketball game, especially the way Frank sets up. Be more, you know, we saw yesterday they're much more to set pieces, much more solid-sized Spurs. So I'll give Wesley 45 minutes, half an hour on Wednesday, and then he should start Tottenham. You need Fofana starting, and then, yeah, Ashupong played well. I thought Ashupong was probably man of the match. I know a lot of people in X were annoyed that he came off, but, you know, a lot of managers do like to rotate centre-backs at the end, and that that's what can happen. Tossin came in cold to the game. Tossin's not been, you know, pulling up any trees either recently. So, yeah, probably Ashupong, Fofana, I suppose. I mean, it was really, real shame that Bally Shield got injured. Because he was really coming onto a game. I mean,
he'd come back and start playing. I know you and
Chris have not always been a fan of him, but I thought he really looked good, especially against Liverpool. He looked amazing.
Yeah,
and it's just such a shame he got injured. And I think our best centre back pairing at the moment would probably be Bally Shield and Fofana. But you know, one's not fit and one's half fit, so it's very difficult. It's very difficult. So yeah, it's a bit of a mess at centre back.
Yeah, talk a little bit about João Pedro.
I mean, sometimes in life, I'm thinking all week, I've got him in fantasy football. I've been saying to all my friends, everyone who wants to hear it, JP10, he's, you know, dropping back, he's in the nine, he's not a nine, at Brighton he was a 10. This is the game. This was the 12-pointer, 15-pointer FPL game. You know, a friend of the pod, Jack, who does the behind enemy lines, he was like, well, he hasn't had any shots. I was like, don't worry, don't sell him in FPL. I mean, he'd be selling him now. I mean, that was absolutely diabolical. He was never in the right position. He didn't press. He didn't do anything. He was completely anonymous in the game. And we should have brought Bonanotte on earlier, I think, because he was done. Or put Estevao in a 10 or something, because it was clear. I mean, he should have been hooked half time when you think about it. He was absolutely dreadful, Bambadro. And it's very worrying because it's just, I expected something completely different to what I saw. And he's had one shot in four games. He hasn't got goal and assist in a long time. He hasn't really got much open play goals this season. I think he's got two goals from corners. I think they were his only two goals, aren't they? So he might not have an open play goal this season.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's very worrying. And, yeah, but I think safe to say there's been a big drop-off from the Club World Cup. And Guiyu, you expect, maybe. Like, you know, if you said to me before the game, Guiyu might struggle and he might get a 5.9 and foot mob and he has 10 touches, I would believe that. But if you told me the performance that João Pedro was going to have, I'd be shocked. And it was I think it was one of the worst performances of the season. It was absolutely dreadful, honestly.
Certainly with the expectancy, I think, and that we had for him in the game.
Yeah.
I think
it shows we've put a bit too much on him. I think we were like, oh, he's like a talisman now, and like he's like been here for years. You know, I mean, hopefully he proved me wrong again, because we've got some good fixtures coming. Like, Tottenham away is not a bad game, and we've got Burnley and Wolves after that in the league. Obviously, we've got Wolves in the League Cup, but I don't think he'll play out of his training. Oh, look, like Maresca saying,
he's injured, by the way. Obviously,
yeah, but he sounds like he's injured, but I don't think that's an excuse for this performance.
Well, I think it is for his pressing. I think obviously he's trying to say.
I think, to be honest, if he's injured, you shouldn't play him then, because he was awful. I mean,
he will consider that now, I think, going forward.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Bonanotte. I think he's fine, Bonanotte, but I would rather have that. He gives a bit of something. I think Estevao 10 has got to be going forward if João Pedro's going to play like that. So yeah, it's a big worry.
Well, I would play João Pedro up front against Spurs, I think, and play Estevao 10 and then play Neto and Gittens. That's personally what I would do. But I think he might play Fernandez 10.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Fernandez. Maybe he'll just bring Lavia back in. And I'm not a massive fan of Enzo Fernandez in the 10, but my word, it's got better than that. I mean, it was awful.
Yeah. All right, let's do warming up.
I think warming up for me was Josh. I think he was good in the game. I think a lot of fans were upset when he came off. Yeah, I think it's a solid. I don't think it was any really good performances in this game, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, obviously I gave warming up to Josh as well.
Yeah, scraping in the warming up. Yeah, have seven passes into the final third. I mean, he was fine. He was solid. There's some little compilations with, you know, modern hip-hop music, as I like to call it. Whatever. The compilation, Reece doing these good things. Reece James was solid again. Reece James has seemed to be ticking over in games, but other than that, I mean, no one's putting up any trees. I mean, when Caicedo has a poor game, you know you're in trouble. So, yeah. I have got a ball in hot, actually, but it's actually Cole Palmer. I think there's been a bit... honestly, this was such a good day for Cole Palmer, because in my book, because there's been so much of, like, we can do without him, João Pedro can play 10.
You've heard from a Chelsea fan the words, we can do without him.
No, I think... you know, we have players to cover, and like that's why we bought Simmons. That's why we should have got Simmons, and like Cole can be not rotated, but you know what I mean. He is just. There's been some disrespect put in his name. I know he had a barren bit in terms of goals assists, but his expected assist was so high last season when he had a barren patch, and like yeah, his goal threat went a bit. Like definitely, his open play goal threat went a bit. But the Cup World Cup in the start of this season, I mean, that Brentford goal when he comes back, he's just a different class, man. And look, I think Caicedo is our best player, but Cole Palmer's a close second. And Cole Palmer is, I think, comfortably, very, very, very comfortably our best attacker. And that's including all our attackers, to be honest. And we need him back desperately. And it just showed that, you know, you just need your best players. If you put Delap... not that that's our best player, but if you put Cole, Will Palmer and Delap in that team, we'll just be a lot better, right? I mean, it's as simple as that, right? I mean, it's not excuses, but that's a Cole Palmer game right there. You know, it's the classic, he can make something happen. He can just break a wall down. He can just do it, be himself. He doesn't need help. That's why he's so good. That's what the top players do. Yeah. In that spot, he doesn't need like, tactical adjustments. That's what he did in the in the Conference League final. People say, "Bet it's not a great team," but in the Conference League final, he was like, "Oh no, I'm just gonna start running the game myself." He even said it himself. He got bored of the side to side, and I'm just gonna start running it. He can just get the ball and just go, and just start running the game. João Pedro can't do that, so, clearly. So yeah, we massively miss him, and we need him back ASAP. As simple as that.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. Yeah, no boiling hots for me. Reggie Labrie could get a boiling hot.
I think we're all boiling hot at the end of a boiling hot of fury, weren't we? The Sunderland fans, I mean, we sat, people don't know, we sit about, what was it, 20 yards from the away fans? I mean, not even that. I mean, you can literally have a conversation with them, like, through the noise, you know, and a few hand gestures, we'll call it. But yeah, it's a great seat when you're winning, but when you're losing, I mean, it was absolute Estevao to what? Who was the lad who scored for Sunderland? To Talby to that. It was the highest of the lows of football and life.
I think those are the moments that you like. I always think, like, the good times always feel so good because the bad times hurt, right? And that was a bad moment, and you got to sit there and take it, and that's why the good ones feel so good. Yeah. Right, let's talk about Wolves in the League Cup briefly, because, you know, we've got a massive game against Spurs next Saturday. The magnitude of that game has gone up tenfold. I think the fans could have hacked a loss coming into this week. We would have been... third or fourth coming into this game, but given the situation now with the defeat at home to Sunderland, we've had the defeat at home to Brighton, this Spurs game on Saturday feels monumental. What do you think about the team for Wolves, and are you bothered if we get knocked out of the League Cup this midweek?
I think it'd be good to obviously prefer not to. I think it'd be good to give a lot of players minutes. I think there's a lot of players who need minutes, like Bonanotte. There's loads of players that you could have a little bit of a... I mean, Guiyu, when Delap comes back, Guiyu could play the League Cup, etc. So Wolves isn't... I mean, obviously, Wolves are in, you know, a bit of trouble at the moment, but I'm not... They might not put much of... It's funny, you might look at that game and think that Wolves are going to put a strong team out. I don't think so, actually. I think they'll probably just be focused on the league, so I think we should actually walk in Wednesday, actually, but we'll see. Spurs is obviously a monumental game. Funny one to analyse, because Spurs obviously have been quite poor at home and very good away. And I don't know if you watched the highlights from the game against Everton yesterday. I mean, it was literally set piece FC. Talk about that around the grounds. But it's massive. It's always a massive game. I don't think Maresca's lost to Spurs, has he? I think he's won every game. Or there's only been two games. I think he won home and away, didn't he, to Spurs last year?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, it was 1-0 at home and then 4-3 away. But a much different Spurs now. So it's a tough one to predict. I think it'd be quite tight. It would be a game that both teams really won't want to lose because Spurs have been so poor at home. And obviously, yeah, I mean, it's massive. But we do have good fixtures after. We've got Wolves at home and then Burnley away. But then it's Barcelona home and Arsenal at home. So, yeah, it's a massive game. But I'm still reeling a bit from Saturday. You need to see the players improving a bit versus Wolves and I can assess it. It's a tough one to read the Tottenham game at the moment.
Yeah, I think, the Wolves lineup will tell us a lot about how he thinks about the Spurs game and also how he values that Wolves game. I think it'll be a very strong lineup in midweek at all.
I do think Enzo 10, Ravia in makes a lot of, not makes sense, but I think that's what it'll do.
It's just it's just solid, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he might go Neto left wing, Estevao right wing. I think he might have had it with Gittins and Garnacho for now. Not had it, but I wouldn't be confident either of them starting. I know Gittins played well against Ajax, but you've got to remember, Gittins was good, but Ajax did have 10 men for 75 minutes. I mean, it was a bit of a stat pack game a little bit.
It's more just the confidence.
It's a good play at Gittins, but sorry to interrupt, but again, you wouldn't really be surprised if you get hooked on 55 minutes and he's just been poor, right? I mean, him and Garnacho, I half expect that when they play. I half expect that around the hour mark, they would have been underwhelming and it didn't work out. I think left wing were really weak at the moment, unfortunately. I think we've got the potential to be strong in the future, maybe especially with Gittins, but at the moment we are really weak. And that shows when we're already talking about putting shifting Neto over to left wing, which is a weaker position for him, to get Estevao on the team, or maybe you play Palmer right wing when he's fit, etc. Yeah, so it's tough. It's tough. And obviously, centre back, like I said before, I want Fofana playing. I think you're right. The Wolves lineup will tell us a lot about how the Tottenham lineup will kind of line up.
Yeah. Delap, one last word on him. Would you risk him with a start on Saturday, or you think?
I think it massively depends on Wolves. I think it depends how Wolves goes, right? I mean, if he's got 5 minutes versus Wolves and he looks rusted, I think if he's. He seems like a robust lad, and he's obviously recovered very quickly. It seems like, I don't know anything about injuries, but it seemed like the Twitter doctors were saying he'd be back at Christmas. he's been back a month early, or even, 6 weeks early. I think if he gets half an hour and he looks fit and he looks good, I probably would give him, I'll give him an hour. Yeah, because I think, although Guiu was poor, I think Guiu, when he comes on in games and teams are tired, can be a real force.
That about Delap in that Spurs game. Either way, whether we're winning or losing.
I think he will start Delap. I think Maresca is increasingly probably getting annoyed that he hasn't got the chess pieces he wants. I mean, he must be secretly fuming at Carl Will. He's obviously fuming at a centre-back situation anyway. But he's fuming at Carl Will's out and Palmer's out, right? And that, it's... I think we have to go into the market for a nine in summer in a big way. I think that'll be the big one. I think he'll start to think, I've just got to start playing these, and he'll start to feel the pressure, I don't think Russell's under any pressure. But, if you start losing Spurs away after losing Sunderland at home, it's not great. So it's a big game for him.
Yeah, for sure. And especially, people looking at these fixtures coming in after that Forest game, it was a good chance for us to have a really strong sort of pre-international break. And then, Palmer's going to be back after that. There was a lot of excitement really about, could have been a lot of excitement, but...
You have to say though, with Chelsea, the league is like a real struggle, right? I mean, I think I was listening to an FPL podcast earlier. I think it's the first time in 10 years or something like that. It might have been to 15 years, I can't remember the stat. That it's the first time that City, Liverpool and Chelsea have lost in the same weekend. I mean, it's just,
really?
Genuinely, it's been 10 years. It's been a long time.
It's been happening, throughout the last sort of 5-6 years, hasn't it? Really, the parity in the league.
It's just all leveled up. You thought Villa were toast. I mean, not that Villa are playing that well, but I think they've got more points than us now. You know, Newcastle won. They're on our tails now. Obviously, Man United are ahead of Liverpool. You know, Bournemouth. It's just leveled up. I mean, Arsenal are probably going to run away with it, and then you've got the rest of everyone battling it out. So it's a funny old league. Yeah, I don't think you never really. You might not even need 70 points to get top four this year. It's just a funny old league this year. So many teams taking points off each other. So there's that, and I think there's that, and there's also. That we just with injuries and a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of injuries for all teams, really. And that's obviously the demands of modern football. Right, let's go round the grounds to wrap things up and give a little short opinion on all the games from the weekend. Leeds United 2, West Ham United 1.
Leeds form, home form will keep them up. And West Ham's home, away, any day, on holiday, form will send them down, I think.
Yeah, it very much looks like West Ham's down there. That was a key game for them. And they just look so poor. I just can't see them staying up. And Leeds, yeah, like you say, I think the home form, that'll be a tough place to go for any team. Yeah. And big win for them. Newcastle 2, Fulham 1.
Yeah, big win for Newcastle getting over line after Champions League week. And Fulham, like I say, always decent team, but they also seem to fall a bit short in the tougher fixtures.
Yeah, a couple of injury time winners in those 3 PMs, one for Sunderland, one for Newcastle. Big swings in points, you know. That's Newcastle, you know, catching up 6 points on us compared to if it had been the other way. You know, we'd have been well clear of them. So, yeah, it's...
Good day for North East.
Yeah, good day for the Geordies and the Mackhams. Yeah. Manchester United 4, Brighton and Hove Albion 2.
I mean, Amberin's 1 point ahead of Slot. I mean, it's absolute scenes. We were actually in the pub watching it, weren't we? I think the XG was about 1 for United, wasn't it? So I think 4-2 was a bit kind, but it was a good game. I think they performed pretty well. Both pretty good teams. And yeah, I mean, they're just starting to get results, United. And it's just another team in the mix for top four, top six, I think.
I think they've played pretty well at home all season. I think that'll be strong for them, their home form. It's just whether they can get things together away and the mentality of the group. Brentford 3, Liverpool 2.
Four losses in a row for Liverpool in the league. I mean, if Slot had any hair, he'd be losing it or tearing it out, I think. It just shows how things quickly can change in football. I think there's another stat. I think that they might be one of the first teams ever. I think it was the first team ever in the league to win the first five and then lose the next four. So... It is literally
true. They were so lucky to win all those first five.
Yeah, it's true. True. Like, probably, you know, in reality, they're about where they should be points-wise. And, Salah scored. But, yeah, they're still looking weak. And Brentford, very strong at home. Very strong at home. Their Keith Andrews doing a good job in Frank's absence, and they look solid.
Another 83 minutes for Florian Wirtz, the Premier League's most expensive ever player. What are we saying?
I know somebody's got somebody in their draft team. Is that you?
No, the less said about his performances for my fancy draft league, the better. But yeah, I mean
he's
it's
coming
a concern,
through.
I think. I really think sort of unlocking him will be a real stress for Slot this season. And, you know, whether to play him out left. I know Gakpo's there. Ekitike can play left. Just that constructing that lineup for Liverpool is going to be... he's got no idea what his best team is, Slot. No idea at all.
And just Liverpool's next four games. It's Palace at home in the League Cup. That might be easy. And then Villa at home, which is tricky. And then you've got Madrid at home, then City away. So I haven't got any gimmies either to get back on form. So yeah,
Bournemouth 2, Forest 0.
I mean, Iraola ball beats Dyche every time. That's all I've got to say about that.
I mean, Bournemouth up to second.
I mean, he's a fantastic manager. I think he'll be the next City manager. Maybe Bayern. I think he's in his last year of his contract. Him and Glasner are both in the last year of the contract, right? I think there's a chance that Pep might leave the end of the season and Areola goes in there. If he'll go to a big club, it just depends on what one he is. He's a fantastic manager. Really, really like it.
Yeah. Arsenal 1, Palace 0. Obviously, the clean sheet for Arsenal.
I mean, obviously, yeah, I've got double defensive FPL, obviously. I mean, I've got to say, I was in denial. There's that stages of grief, isn't there? I've hit acceptance. I mean, it's looking very, very ominous, isn't it? They're 6 points. I mean, they're essentially 7 points clear of City because of their goal difference, 8 clear of Liverpool. Don't be disrespectful to, obviously, your Bournemouths and your Tottenhams and your Sunderlands of the world, but you assume they're going to fall off in a title race. But Arsenal look fantastic. And at least Palace had a shot on target. That was about that. Palace were a good side and they just completely shut them down, basically. So, yeah, looking very good.
Villa 1, Manchester City 0.
Emery keeps churning results out. It's just one of those meh days for City when Haaland's not on it. The supporting cast is just not there. So it's like he's Brad Pitt in the film, and it's just the rest of kind of like C-list actors. It's just if he's not on it, they're done.
What about your man Reinders?
Reinders? You can't say his name first, mate. It's not Rudolf Reinders. I think it's a good
player. You're tipped to be the star signing of the summer.
Oh, I'll give it. Right, look, mate. 29 games left, yeah. He's, you know, I think he'd be dodging points in FPL. I think he's a good player. But just to think about like Foden, there's got a lot of players you could explain. I mean, I really rate Phil Foden, but it's not happening for them at the moment. Shirky, Mamouche, Doku, they've got good attackers, but they just need a couple to kind of just support Haaland, because otherwise they are going to struggle.
Wolverhampton Wanderers 2, Burnley 3. The fans not happy at Molineux.
Yeah, I saw he was having it out at the end of him, but bless him. But it seems like a good manager as well, but it's not getting points. But Chelsea are coming to town soon. We're playing him in the next two.
I've got to say, Wolves have been getting desperately unlucky in games. I don't know, yeah, I haven't seen the expected points table, but they keep sort of outplaying teams and losing. And the 95th minute winner for Burnley, got to be so painful. Right, lastly, Everton 0, Spurs 1. Everton 0, Spurs 3.
Yeah, a bit denial there. A game won by set pieces, which is a bit of a microcosm for the league so far.
It is. Set pieces have been very in vogue at the moment. It's because of the open play. Everyone just cancels each other out for the most part. But yeah, I mean,
it's going to take our long throws. Need to get someone going, but that's...
Semenyo.
No. Right. Yeah.
Soon. Coming soon.
Right.
But yeah, Spurs obviously with a big win. And, you know, it'll be such a tough game next Saturday. Such a tough game.
We're 6 points behind them. I mean, it's not looking... I mean, that will be tough.
Right. I think we were very gracious in defeat. That's all we've got time for today. Thanks very much, Brady.
No problem, mate.
Regardless of the result, we will be back to talk Wolves and Spurs next Monday. For all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening. Sleep, Chelsea,